Saludos. Hola a todos y a todas. Bienvenidos y bienvenidas a otro episodio de Raqueteando con Modesto Lacén, que ya cumplimos un año. ¿Lo pueden creer? Un año increíble. Aquí en GW5 Studio, por favor, dale subscribe, dale share, compártelo con tus amigos, con tus amigas. Y por supuesto, síguenos en las redes Raqueteando Podcast. Porque este próximo año va a ser un formato nuevo. Vamos a subir contenido en las redes, en Raqueteando Podcast, en Instagram. Y los episodios van a ser cada dos veces por mes. Dos veces por mes. Así que son cada dos jueves va a subir un episodio nuevo con lo que ya saben. Entrevistas de tenis, pickleball, racket, pádel, de todo un poco. De deportes y del estilo de vida que rodea nuestros deportes favoritos. Y sí, estoy como nervioso. Tengo una energía bonita, nervioso. Porque tengo un invitado muy especial y que ha sacado de su tiempo para hablar con nosotros. Actor, artista también. Es una persona que conocen muchos de ustedes. Y que en a su temprana edad, porque es un actor joven, ha tenido un éxito rotundo y ya ha hecho historia. Pero además de eso, le gusta el tenis, así que por eso está aquí y va a hablar con nosotros unos minutos. Les estoy hablando del actor protagonista de la película Blue Beetle, en la que yo también participé, el señor Xolo Maridueña. Xolo, ¿estás por ahí?
Hey, ¿qué onda, bro? How are you? Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for the great intro as well. It's been a long time coming, but I'm glad to finally get to meet you.
Yeah, likewise. We were talking that, you know, of course, I did a small part of the movie, but we didn't get to meet each other back then. And then when the movie came out, the SAG-AFTRA strike was on, so we couldn't see each other. But of course, I've been a fan of yours for some time, and I really want to thank you for taking some time to talk about, you know, your work as an actor, but also about tennis, which is, you know, my other passion. So thank you. Thank you for that.
Absolutely. I'd like to formally congratulate you as well. It was a pleasure to get to share the screen together on Blue Beetle. It was the most fun that I'd ever had filming anything, and to see so many Puerto Ricans get to be in the movie, to get to be out in Puerto Rico as well to film the movie was an absolute pleasure. Obviously, Angel Manuel Soto, our wonderful director, did a great job, and I'm here to congratulate the both of you.
No, thank you. I'll pass the word to Angel Manuel. I've been talking with
perfect.
Him. Yeah, let him know that we were talking. So thank you. I mean, that was my first thing. You know, Blue Beetle was a huge success. You shot some of the scenes here in Puerto Rico. So how was it for you? Did you like the heat? How was it?
It was amazing. It was, I had had one weekend actually of getting to film in Puerto Rico for season 5 of Cobra Kai.
Oh, okay.
Right before we did Blue Beetle. So it was nice to get to, Angel was actually in Puerto Rico while we were out there. So I got to hang out with him. We went to Santurce, kind of his stomping grounds, and got to check out, you know, some of his neighborhoods and Watusi, some of his favorite spots.
Oh, okay.
And then finally, when we were there shooting all of the exteriors for the movie, the parts that you were in, shooting in El Morro, I mean, it was an absolute dream come true to get to not only work on a movie that centered the Latino experience, but also to have Latinos working behind the camera and involved in getting to make the movie. It was, to be honest, the first time that had ever happened for me. To get to see, you know, our costumers and our camera people and makeup department and lighting all be Latinos was truly a life-changing experience. And so much of that is due in part to Angel Manuel Soto, our director, who found a way and who made it an intentional choice to bring it back to his home.
Yeah.
And no, what about you? Was it your first time? I mean, did you already know Angel at that point? Was it your first time getting to meet him?
No, I knew him because, you know, Angel started out here in Puerto Rico doing some short films, and his first feature film, La Granja, was a very, you know, very successful film here. And I mean, he's younger. I'm a little older than Angel, but I do know him, and he knew about my work here in Puerto Rico. So we kind of knew each other, but we haven't worked together. So Blue Beetle was the first time. But, you know, since, you know, Puerto Rico is this big, we know each other. So we had so much respect for each other. And it was, you know, that first time. And, of course, we've been talking to hopefully work some other time. And we're working on some other stuff that soon you'll get to know. Nice. Very interesting stuff for Puerto Rico and the film industry down here. Okay. But, yeah, it was my first time. And Angel, I respect him a lot because, as you said, those decisions were intentional. He wanted to bring the movie to Puerto Rico, intentionally casting some local actors like myself, with actors like yourself, like Susan Sarandon. Like, he's a mastermind in what he wants to do and once he wants to communicate through his work. So I respect him a lot for that. And he keeps in touch. Like, he's one of those people that, you know, he goes back and forth. I know he has place to stay here. But even though he's doing a lot of work. I was at the premiere of The Wrecking Crew. Yeah. And he did a local premiere with his peers. I was there celebrating him. So it's somebody that he has his heart in the right position regarding how he feels about Puerto Rico and the things we go through. As a country. So I'm grateful that, you know, he was the one who did that with you, this amazing movie. What about, I mean, you mentioned the Watusi, so you know about Santurce. Watusi is like, okay, that's a local place.
It was, I mean, I loved Watusi. I definitely, I had my first, like, you know, Roncoco concoction there. That was a little strong. You know, I had just turned 21, so I was just starting to try different drinks. But we actually got to have like a replica of Watusi and Santurce in the neighborhood that Jaime lives in the movie. So around the house, we got to build some of his favorite shops. There's even like Mercado, like a Soto Mercado that's over in the corner next to the Reyes house as an homage to Angel. So, you know, you hit it on the head. It was a wonderful experience, and I'm just waiting for another opportunity to get to not only work with Angel again, but get to go back to Puerto Rico. I mean, I'm really excited about all of the doors that have been open for other Boricuas to get to make films and get to, you know, share their voices. So I'm always on the lookout for, you know, who the next great folk to come out of Puerto Rico are.
Nice. Great. And what about the music? Have you been to any of the Bad Bunny's concert or any other?
Oh,
I mean, Bad Bunny is like the guy to talk to, but I don't know if you've been to one of the concerts or.
I was working out of the country for like the past 6 months while the whole kind of tour is going on. I know that he's in Europe right now, but it seems like I'm the last person to get to go. Everyone, you know, my family, my friends, all on Instagram, everyone has been to the show and said such nice things. So hopefully I'll get to go before the tour ends, but you know, I've been watching a lot. I mean, I got to watch the Super Bowl as well. Mm-hmm. That was another great performance. So
yeah, man.
I'll be listening from the house for right now, but I hope sometime soon I'll be able to check him out.
Sure thing. He's I have friends who have worked with him, and I actually met him once before the you know, this tour. And he's such a nice guy and very approachable and very down to earth, you know. So but when he did the concerts here, I was like, I need to get in a way. And I did get some tickets, and I was there. It was an amazing experience, like truly a landmark. Historically and culturally here in Puerto Rico, you know, it's not, it's 100%. Beyond the music and it's beyond himself, you know?
It's beyond the music, it's beyond himself, and it is such a gift to get to see someone, an artist, a forward-facing figure, lean into their culture and embrace mm-hmm. what makes, you know, or embrace the specifics of his culture. And you just mm-hmm. see the way that the community will just give that energy right back.
Yeah,
there's something so special about getting to do his residency in Puerto Rico, getting to, mm-hmm. you know, start the tour and set the tone for what the energy is going to be like at home. I mean, there is no artist like Bad Bunny today. And I feel like, you know, hopefully other people take notes.
Yeah, hopefully. So what does it mean to you to be, you know, play Jaime Reyes in Blue Beetle and be the first Latino superhero? Like that's a big thing, you know? I know if you've thought about it, but, you know, 3 years after the movie opened and it has, it had success and still people are watching and talking about it. Yeah. How do you feel about it?
It means the world to me. It was definitely in the conversation before we even stepped on the set the first day. I was a bit nervous about, you know, at that time, like you mentioned, it was just kind of side characters, or Miles Morales had come out in animated form, mm-hmm. but there wasn't a live action lead of a superhero movie that was a Latino. And I remember feeling a bit nervous about that, but Angel from the very beginning made sure to tell me, like, this isn't about us. This isn't about you, Xolo, as an actor. This isn't about me, Angel, as a director. This is about showing kids and a next generation of people that they are superheroes as well. Hmm. And once I heard that, and once Angel gave me this advice, it really lightened the pressure. Yeah. Once everything was focused on making this an experience for kids to see themselves represented and to see their families on screen, mm-hmm. then all I had to do was think back to my family and think back to my experiences as a youngster and interact with the rest of the Reyeses on screen, El Pide Carrillo, you know, Adriana uh-huh. Barraza, Damiana yeah. Casar, like see. All of them brought such great family energy that it wasn't uh-huh. hard to, you know,
to feed off
act alongside them. They made the job so easy. And, you know, once the movie released and I saw so many kids in the neighborhoods that I grew up out here in Los Angeles that looked like me getting to see themselves, like it's the biggest blessing. And I can't wait to come back, hopefully sometime in the future, to put the Blue Beetle suit back on.
Yeah, man, that would be amazing. It means the world to us Latinos. Like, I have a 6-year-old kid, boy, his name is Nicanor. And, you know, every now and then when he sees, he's starting to get to understand that, my dad appears on TV, on films and theater, and, dad, that's you. Yeah, that's me, man. You know, he's adorable. But every now and then when he sees somebody on screen that looks like him, his world just, you know, brightens up and opens up. So it's so important for Latino kids to see themselves on screen and good examples and
absolutely.
Human beings, complex human beings, intelligent, complex with how human beings are, you know, with their strengths and their weaknesses, but with a good heart. And I do feel that was such a milestone in film history, because in, you know, where we're living now, 2026, 21st century, we're still, you know, working towards equality and that people abroad
absolutely.
Feel that we're the same. We share the same experience as human beings, you know?
And movies and TV do such a tremendous job in breaking those boundaries. Like it is, for far too long, the only examples we had of Latinos were, you know, just one part of the story. And now getting to tell all of the other parts, you know, like we mentioned, the more positive sides of things, I think it's hopefully showing other people, like, we are more than, you know, what sometimes the politics is trying to yeah. say about our community.
Yeah.
And I think a movie like Blue Beetle and does a great job of showing, you know, folk, this is what we're actually like. And we're not that different.
No, we're not. But thank you for that. So on to tennis.
Tennis, bro.
Yeah. How did you, you know, get about, you know, tennis? Did you play some of your parents or I don't know how it all started for you?
Tennis. I got introduced to tennis at 5 or 6 years old.
Oh, wow.
Before I even got into acting, I got into tennis. I had lived in Las Vegas for a little bit, and our neighbor was a tennis player. Huh. And
Andre Agassi? No,
my God. No. But I don't necessarily mean professional tennis player, but he was an avid tennis player, and he was retired and like an older gentleman, and my family was working all the time, and he was like, hey, you know, I'll play tennis with your son if you want. So every weekend we would kind of go out and play tennis, and I was just like maybe literally 5 or 6 years old getting to learn how to play tennis, and I loved it. And eventually we moved out of Las Vegas and I stopped playing for a little bit. And then back in high school, I joined the tennis team and played singles and doubles all throughout high school. And I thoroughly enjoy it. I mean, it's definitely the sport that I've played the most. I try to get back and play today sometimes, you know, sometimes a friend will be available or I'll be by a brick wall and able to play on the handball court or whatever, but it's one of the earliest sports that I was introduced to, and I love it. Like, I am definitely a competitive person, and I love having all of the pressure on myself. Like, it's a one person team. As much as I love team games, there's something really special about having the control in tennis that I enjoy.
Yeah, it's you against you, you know.
For sure. It's literally like all you have to do is return the ball, and if you continue to return the ball, you will win. But a lot of the times tennis feels like just waiting for the first person to make a mistake.
Yeah, certainly. Oh, that's amazing. My son, as I told you, he's 6. He's been taking some lessons since he was 3. Yeah, and nowadays he recognizes Carlitos Alcaraz, Sinner, Sabalenka, and I, talking about representation, I tell him, listen, Nicanor, you look like this player. You know Ben Shelton?
Yes.
My son looks like him. I think when my son grows up, will be like a Ben Shelton type of lookalike. It's, you know, that type of kid. So, I do it because I want for him to, you know, share the passion with me, and hopefully when he's older, play with me and, you know, have some, you know, something to share with him, you know.
It will happen, no doubt about it.
Yeah. So who's your favorite player?
You know, my favorite player, I mean, the first player that I was introduced to, like, by my family was McEnroe. Like, I remember my family throwing on, you know, the headband, and my fam would either be like, you look like Daniel LaRusso or McEnroe. So, that was the first player that I knew of. And Roger Federer was also really big when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. But today I had the pleasure of getting to see Tiafoe at one of the US Opens a few years back. And that was really cool. He's one of my favorite players. On the women's side, I really like Ons Jabeur. From Tanzania, I want to say.
Tanzania, yeah. She's on maternity leave. She gave birth a few months ago.
Yes. I was first introduced to her in the tennis documentary series and was like, wow, I love her story. I love her trajectory. And she's a great tennis player as well. Naomi Osaka, of course. Mm-hmm. Carlos, I love those guys. There's not really anybody that I don't like, but I just am not as familiar with everyone
Yeah, no, I know.
In the whole tennis world, but those are a few of my faves. What about you?
Well, you know, you said the my buddy, Mr. Federer, and I have a picture.
Hey, okay.
I mean, yeah, look. You know, this is what I have here.
No, he's classic. I mean,
he's classic. And I actually met him. I lived in New York for about 8 years, and I went to the US Open 2007. And he played that night. I was, you know, having a few drinks with some of my friends. And all of a sudden, like a whole bunch of people start sitting, you know, in a long table. And I was like, hey, guys, I think that's Federer's girlfriend, Mirka. I mean, I know her names, of course. So I thought, oh, that thing of that's America. Oh, that's Robert, father.
Whoa.
That's Lynette, the mother. And there was one empty seat. And I was like, okay, guys, we have to wait because Roger is coming. He did. He had, you know, he was with his family, blah, blah. And we, you know, we let him be. We had a few more drinks. And before he left, I was like, guys, I have to do this. And then I went up to him and he was so kind and so approachable. Like, hey, Roger, my name is Modesto. I'm from Puerto Rico. Can we take a picture with you? Oh, sure, guys. And I have a picture. Later on, I'll forward it to you so you can see it. And he was such a nice guy. And he actually tried to speak some Spanish. He told me, ¿De dónde son ustedes? ¿Puerto Ricanos? Y yo dije, no, puertorriqueños. He was such a nice guy.
Oh, my gosh. So, he got a Spanish lesson. I love that.
Yeah. And, you know, he's my favorite player. I mean, my favorite player ever. You know, I grew up watching.
He does seem like such a nice gentleman.
Yeah. He truly is. He truly is. He's a class act. And so when you said Federer, it's like, okay, you're Federer team. And, you know, nowadays, Nadal just turned 40. Wow. Djokovic is still playing. And, you know, the discussion about who's the GOAT, who's the greatest of all time in men's tennis, it's, you know, it's up in the air. Numbers-wise, Djokovic leads the pack, but in my heart, for me, it's Federer. So who's yours?
I'm going to have to go with Federer as well because he was just the first. Like when I think of tennis, I think of Federer.
Yeah.
And although like obviously you can break it down numbers wise and literally, I guess, find the best person. But I think the person who represents tennis and is the great, I think it's Federer for me. I think we might be on the same page there.
Yeah, nice. We and on the woman's side, do you have any?
I mean, Serena Williams. I mean the Williams sisters are definitely up there. I mean, I'm really excited to see what some of the newer younger talent is. Like I remember being really excited about Naomi Osaka joining the tennis world and Coco Gauff even. Mm-hmm. You know, today I think you know, I'm really excited about what some of the ladies are doing and who's going to be the GOAT. But for right now, the GOATs are the Williams sisters for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Serena's coming back. She's playing in a couple of weeks. With Victoria Umboco. She's a young player from Canada on Queen's Club on grass. So let's see how that goes.
Snap.
Yeah, okay. So that's happening as we speak.
I've never played on grass or clay before. Have you?
I actually started playing on clay here in Puerto Rico because, I started out in clay, which is not, I mean, it's not, it's okay.
Too
I mean,
different?
Most people, it's just different. It's just, I'm from the east side of Puerto Rico. So the closest court that I had was a clay court. So
that's
I started
so
out in clay, but
Were
I've
you
never
sliding
played
around?
On grass. Yeah. And actually loved it. And I used to play with really older guys. And, you know, I was younger and I was like, okay, I'm going to beat these guys. No. those guys, you know, they would throw like a slice.
Yeah.
And they would know all the tricks, you know, because it's not about strength necessarily always.
No.
And speed. It's about, you know, where you put the ball. You know, I learned a whole lot from them. So, I started out in clay. And I think clay also is better for the body. Like it's not as hard as hard courts. But I've never played on grass. You know, I've been to Wimbledon. I went once. It was beautiful.
That's a dream.
It is. It's a magical experience, like literally. Like you can feel the tradition and you can feel it's mystical. That's the word.
It gets so quiet right before someone serves. That's what the thing that I was the most surprised about. I haven't gotten to go to Wimbledon just yet, but I did get to go to the 2023 and the 2024 US Open. And nice. I was so surprised. I brought a film camera with me because I wanted to take some pictures. And the first picture that I took with my Canon, you could hear the shutter echo in the stadium because of how quiet everyone got when, you know, Djokovic or, you know, Sinner was gonna serve. I was shocked. I was too scared to take a photo after because I was like, this is, people are gonna start looking at me like, you're making too much noise, bro.
Yeah, but I mean, that's something I like that about the sport, the etiquette, you know, like this is how we play. I don't know. And for me, like to be in a place where thousands of people think like you, it's mind blowing for me. It always has been. So between, you know, tennis and acting, do you think there are any similarities for you? You know, acting as a discipline and tennis as a discipline as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great question. In what ways are tennis and acting similar? You know, I'd say that, you know, when I think of tennis and acting in the relationship, one of the similarities maybe that I can think of is that a lot of the times when I'm going over a script, it'll be like I'm hitting the ball against the wall. It'll always come back to me, but I don't know. But that doesn't determine how it's going to be on the game day. Hmm. Having your opponent in tennis or your scene partner in acting, they have just as much a say in how the scene is going as you do. And, you know, you can practice hitting up on the wall as many times as you want, but it's only until you get there on the court on the day that it's actually, you know, that all that practice kind of comes into effect. And I think similarly, maybe to what I was saying earlier about being the person who is just always returning, it's not always about hitting that, you know, smash hit. Mm-hmm. Or getting the fastest serve or, you know, obliterating your opponent. I think there's something about being a generous scene partner and about, you know, not trying to have the biggest laugh or, you know, steal the scene when you are directing your energy towards the other person. You end up coming up with a scene that's so much better than if you're just focused on yourself and my performance and, you know, what I'm doing. That's what I think. But I don't know. I haven't thought about this before.
Yeah, no, but I think you, what you said, you know, being present. I think there's also that. Like, you have to be present in tennis. Like, you cannot be thinking about, I was hearing Federer's speech. He made a commencement speech a few years back. And he was saying, like, you win this point, good, you forget, on to the next. You lose that point, good, on to the next. So totally. I think in acting, same thing. I mean, you have to be present. I cannot be thinking about what's going to happen or what happened before. I have to be present in order to communicate and actually something can happen, you know, between you and the scene partner and the other actor or actress. So, what you said, it was beautiful, you know, like, you know, hitting the ball and then finding out what's really going to happen until there. That's it. That's it. And do you play any other racket sports? Like, you know, pickleball is huge in Puerto Rico now. Paddle is sort of like starting to like take over. Beach tennis, also ping pong. Did you see Marty Supreme?
Of course, I had to see Marty Supreme.
Of course, we all had to.
I had to watch Challengers. I was so pissed I didn't get any call for Challengers. I was like, what? There's a tennis movie happening. I didn't get an audition, but do I play any other racket sports? Not really. You know, the park right by my house just built a pickleball court, actually. Okay. And it is filled 24/7. I'm so shocked. I got, you know, I started playing more tennis because I was like, well, now the tennis courts are free. This is perfect. Like,
yeah.
everyone moved over to pickleball in this way. And
okay, we're here.
Hello.
Yeah.
Okay, there we go.
It froze for a minute. Yeah.
Pardon. I can't say I have gotten into any other racket sports just yet, but as soon as someone invites me, I'll be ready.
Yeah, pickleball, it's huge. Also because, you know, same thing. It's not as hard on the body as tennis. Mm-hmm. And then in a tennis court, you can have two pickleball courts. You know, like it's mm-hmm. more practical in a way. And here in Puerto Rico, like it's huge, huge. You know, there are pickleball everywhere. And now if you know, some people, you're going to buy, I don't know, a house in Puerto Rico and in a neighborhood. And some of the amenities, it's, oh, we have a pickleball court, you know? So it's that big. It's that big here. And
Oh my gosh.
It's really interesting what could happen with that. But yeah, I mean, I started playing a little pickleball and ping pong as well, but my main thing is tennis still, you know.
You and me both, yeah.
And so
we'll play when I head out there next.
Yeah, sure thing. Or if I go to LA, or when I go to LA, hopefully if you're there, we can, you know, at least hit a few balls, you know.
Hell yeah.
So you have any other hobbies besides tennis?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I love photography. I always got like a couple of cameras with me. I got this Ricoh Digital. I have this Canon, my Canon A1 that I bring with me. Like I took this one to the US Open, grabbed some fun photos. I love making music as well.
Yeah, I
know. And rapping and getting to listen to music. Like there's fewer joys to me than sitting in the car with my friends and driving somewhere and listening to great music and chatting. And then just watching movies. I mean, there will be months where I go watching a movie every day it's just kind of my favorite pastime is getting to watch movies and television with the people that I love. But that's, yeah, I'm kind of through and through kind of a artsy person and then getting to do some of these more physical action packed movies and TV shows, I've gotten to learn a bunch of great martial arts and stunts and different exercises depending on what the role calls for. I've had a great pleasure in getting to learn, even like weightlifting and all of that. It's not something that came super easily to me. So getting to learn that and practice that is also really fun.
Yeah. I mean, I teach also here, and every now and then when people ask me, I tell them like, listen, guys, if you want to be an actor, you need to watch movies. It's like basic, it's basic. And but not a lot of people, you know, like they work in the industry, but they don't like to watch. I do like to watch films. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, you know, I started out, you know, as a kid, like, oh, I want to watch a movie. And I still get goosebumps and get that energy of, okay, I'm going to watch a movie with this actor and this actress. I mean, for me, it's still very enjoyable and thrilling as well.
Me too.
And so glad to hear that. I mean, and also friends, you know, I have also a really good group of friends, and, you know, spending time with friends, I think it's gold, you know.
It's the thing that I kind of find myself keep coming back to. If I've been working for a bunch of months and I come back home, the first thing that I want to do is have a nice dinner with my family and friends and have everyone over at the house just chilling together.
Yeah. Ground yourself. That's important. Sholo, thank you so much for your time. We still have
three more things.
No, thank you. First of all, it's your birthday month.
Oh,
so
yeah,
happy birthday, feliz cumpleaños.
Thank you, desde Puerto Rico.
Que la pase muy bien. Do you have any plans that you can share with us for your birthday?
Funny enough, I will be
you'll be working.
I guess kind of working. Yeah, I'm like, I guess I'll be kind of working. There'll be a premiere for a movie that I got to do with this director, If Rivera, called Killing Castro at the Tribeca Film Festival.
Yeah, I just read something about it.
In New York. So I'll be able to celebrate with the director and the rest of the cast on my birthday this year. So that'll be really fun. But no, there will be few birthdays that beat my 21st birthday. We were filming Blue Beetle my 21st birthday. And the scene where the scarab jumps on Jaime's face was my 21st birthday. So that was, it's going to be hard to beat. It's going to be,
no. I mean, you can't top that.
I became a superhero on one of my birthdays. So I don't know. We'll see how 25 is, but
that's
it.
You're a superhero on your birthday. What else can you do? Like,
I'll throw on a mask or something.
Wow, but great. I mean, but you know, that's a good sign. I always think when you're working on your birthday, that's a good sign for, you know, more work and abundance and being in your happy place, you know, because I know you love acting from your work. We can tell that. So congratulations, muchas felicidades, que la pases bien, feliz cumpleaños. And before we end, I always, you know, do like a quick questionnaire. Okay. Just some questions. The first thing that comes to your mind, just that, and that's it. Okay? Good?
Rapid fire.
Okay. Favorite athlete?
Favorite athlete? For me right now, I'll say Yasiel Puig. He's one of my faves.
He's a
baseball player. Used to play for the Dodgers. He's a Cubano. He's a good guy.
Cool. Music that pumps you up?
Always hip hop. I mean, hip hop is what I grew up on. It's what I listen to the most. And I feel like, I mean, I'll listen to hip hop to pump me up, to get me sad, to get me motivated. Like there's a hip hop song for every mood.
Nice. If you can describe yourself or better than describe yourself, if you have, piece of jewelry or something that you wear that can actually describe you, what would that be?
Ooh, I think, you know, I love a hat. Like today I'm not wearing any goofy hats, but I think there's something about, having some fun colors on the top of your head that I really enjoy. And then glasses as well. I took them off for this interview, but I'm always rocking, I'm blind to that basically. So I'm always rocking a fun pair of glasses. And I think, you know, kind of like you mentioned, fashion is such an extension of who we are, and glasses definitely. That's what I try to do. Try to switch
up. When you travel, window or aisle seat?
Aisle seat.
Me too.
I'm aisle seat all the way. I don't mind standing up for anyone. I'll stand
me
up
neither.
As many times as I need to, but sometimes I just need that easy escape.
Me too.
And when I sit the window, I feel like everyone falls asleep and never wakes up in a way that I'm
I think I feel trapped when I'm in the window seat. Cool. Okay, this is a very important question. Food. Mexican, yes. Cuban, or Ecuadorian food?
I mean, Mexican food.
Mexican, good.
Probably
good,
just
good.
Because I've had it the most, but I mean, there are few experiences that I've had, like getting to go down to Mexico and try the food. And like, it is truly my favorite food in the whole world. So I think Mexican beats most. It's unfair.
It's fine. It's just I wanted to, because I know you're Cuban as well and Ecuadorian. Just wanted to see which one do you like. If you have like a magic wand, and if you can change something, what would you change?
I would. Dude, I mean, that's a heavy question. For me, I probably like cure all diseases. Like if I had a wand that was like, I want the cure for every disease.
Yeah.
That would be a great one. There's so many folk who are like, yeah, who that's yeah, simple enough. I'll keep it a rapid fire and just say that, but that's one of them.
Yeah. Amazing. I was, you know, a friend of mine told me if you're healthy, you have a lot of problems, but if you're not healthy, you just have one problem. That's the truth. I mean, if you're not healthy, you just have one problem. I'm not healthy. So
yeah,
you know, so health is everything. And one dream that, you know, you haven't achieved yet that you can share with us.
One dream I haven't achieved yet. I still have, you know, yet to move out of my family's house. It's been a dream to get to live with my family this whole time. I'm in, you know, my office right now, but it is a dream of mine to get to, you know, eventually move and see what the rest of, you know, adulthood has to offer. So that's the next dream right now.
Beautiful. Well, Xolo, I cannot thank you enough. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for talking about tennis. Oh my God, you know.
Thank you everyone listening and make sure to subscribe too.
Yeah, sure thing. Y mucha felicidad. I love birthdays, not only mine, but everybody's birthday. So I wish you health, que estés mucha salud, muchas bendiciones, a lot of work, and good fortune for you. So yes, thank you. Thank you so much. Chévere.
Thank you.
Well,
thank you.
Ciao. Thank you so much, man. Bueno, señoras y señores, eso fue Xolo Maridueña. Qué gran conversación y qué buena persona, ¿no? Se sale de la pantalla su energía y su ángel y su calidad como ser humano. Así que gracias, Xolo Maridueña. Ya lo dijo, a lo mejor si nos encontramos jugamos tenis. Y si no han visto Blue Beetle, ahí está el afiche, súbemelo por ahí, el afiche de Blue Beetle. Si no la han visto, esta peli está en Amazon Prime. Xolo es el que está arriba, él es el protagonista. Yo tengo una pequeña participación que hago de un general y tengo una escena con muy, muy amiga mía, Susan Sarandon, esa ganadora del Oscar, esa señora que hace unas películas. Tuve una escena con ella y es una película bien entretenida y como bien dijo Xolo, representa lo que somos los latinos. Y es un buen ejemplo, una película entretenida para los jóvenes, para los adultos, para que se vean reflejados también y que sepamos que hay mucho que hacer y que siempre la bondad y la buena energía gana. Y es una evidencia lo que acaba de pasar este episodio con Xolo, que es buen tipo y muy generoso en darnos en su tiempo para hablar de tenis, de qué más. Bueno, nos vemos en la próxima. Chao.
Nice, bro. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Absolutely. You have a great rest of your day, okay? Ciao.